Speaking with Pamela McCall and Michael Butterfield.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us. Welcome to Legally Speaking and to barrister and solicitor Paul Pearson, who's filling in for Michael Butterfield. Good morning, Paul. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Pamela. Thanks for having me.
Nice of you to fill in. Michael's in London.
Having a great time, I'm sure.
Jolly old time, Christmas pudding and all the fun things. This morning, we're going to discuss a current issue facing Victoria and the rest of the country. The new prostitution laws that came into effect last Saturday? Yeah.
That's correct.
Let's get into this. What changes are notable?
Well, and it's a real sea change, I should say, as far as prostitution in Canada, because up until last week, prostitution was legal in Canada. And listeners may or may not know this, but it was illegal previously to communicate for the purpose of prostitution, but the actual act of sex for money wasn't illegal.
And I bet a lot of people don't know that.
They didn't know that, yeah. Right? They think, you know, this is part of the reason why you would see in various local magazines and other things advertising for escort agencies and that sort of business, because it actually wasn't illegal. And part of that history is because we've recognized in Western society, and in fact all over the world, that it's going to be impossible to entirely stamp out the sale of sex. It's known as the world's oldest profession for a reason, and it's going to happen. What the Supreme Court of Canada did 1 year ago was it said that Canada's laws surrounding prostitution, these laws that prohibited things like living off the avails of prostitution, that was an attempt to try to prevent pimps from making money, the prohibiting communication for the purpose of prostitution, which was an attempt to keep it out of the public eye and right off the street, that those things actually caused a situation that increased the risk of harm for prostitutes. And it created a situation where they were forced underground in situations where they weren't operating, where they could have security or other persons helping them regulate their business, and in fact created an increased chance of risk. And your listeners will recall with some concern horrible stories like Mr. Picton in Vancouver, who victimized sex workers over there. And the Supreme Court of Canada said, look, we've created a dangerous situation. So what it did is it struck down Canada's prostitution laws last year and gave the government 1 year to fix them or to leave them struck, meaning there would be no laws surrounding the criminalization of prostitution. The Conservative government in the summer introduced a bill, and it's now come into law just last week. And what effectively they've done is said they have adopted a model that is came out of Sweden. And what it says is that the act of selling sex is not illegal. Prostitutes aren't committing a crime by actually taking money for sex. But the act of buying sex is illegal. And what the Conservative government did was said, we're going to try to target the Johns, not the prostitutes, because the government said they're viewing the prostitutes as the exploited individuals.
Why is it taking so long for this to happen?
Well, and this is the interesting thing. First blush, everyone said, hey, that looks like a good idea. Let's not get these poor women who are, you know, really vulnerable and marginalized and in a tough situation. And the Conservatives, I think, thought there would be quite a bit of support for this. The challenge comes from where what they've also done is done things like prohibited any form of advertising for prostitution services. They've prohibited any kind of commercial activity surrounding it. So people can't have a business. It's always got to be a shadowy activity in the margins. And many groups have now come out and said, hey, you haven't actually made it any better by criminalizing the Johns. You've actually made it worse, because now what's going to happen is men who want to buy sex aren't going to want to identify themselves to women who are selling it, because they don't want to be prosecuted, so they're going to want to be anonymous. Some of the women that testified before the Senate committee on this issue said that's a gift for sexual predators, because men demanding anonymity or doing it in the shadows, in alleyways and other non-public places, it's going to open the door for sexual predators, and it forces it even more underground than it was before, because previously it wasn't an illegal activity. And I want to pause here to say,
interesting.
There's a lot of things surrounding the act of prostitution that everyone could agree was a bad thing. These are things like human trafficking, immigrant workers in Europe and other places being transported around the world, forced into prostitution, and being exploited, horrible practices. Young children, girls under the age of 18 who are prostituted and are, you know, put into this horrible position without the ability to actually make any choice for themselves. And those things this bill also has come out swinging on and has actually increased the penalties and really toughened it up. That part no one really has as much of a challenge with, but this whole thing of criminalizing it, it's a tough question because by virtue of criminalizing it, it's sort of like prohibition era alcohol. If you make it illegal, what happens is the only people who are dealing with it or doing it are the criminals.
And but so, there's stills out back.
And that's the challenge, is that you know, many groups have come out, you know, who speak for marginalized and women who are in tough situations and say, look, you're just making this worse because now it's a criminal act, whether it's the woman committing the crime or the man committing the crime, you're stigmatizing it even more and turning it more into a shadowy activity.
You know, and it's funny because my instinct when I said, yay, the Johns are, you know, was to, because of how it was played out before, that the women were vilified and thought to be the party who should be, you know, face some sort of action, and didn't think it through enough to think, oh, you know, if you make it a crime for the Johns, then it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It becomes just really even creepier than it already is.
And that's exactly it. And I think that the government was a little surprised by this response, but it seems actually pretty universal that the groups that were sort of that speak out on behalf of marginalized women have come out and said, look, this isn't actually a good move.
What do you think, CFAX listeners? What do you think of the new laws covering prostitution? 250-386-1161, star 1070 on your cell phone. You can email us, talk@cfax1070.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Paul writes in email, Victoria has, at least that we know of, two in-call brothels with discreet unmarked storefronts, right among other retailers. Will the law change affect these premises? Paul.
Absolutely, it will. And the concern is that it prohibits commercial activity. So anybody who's operating one of these things, and this is the reality, is that these things are in our community. They're not something that everyone sees. They're quite discreet. But what the Supreme Court of Canada said, and it considered about 25,000 pages of research and evidence on this issue, was that when prostitutes can hire security, reception, monitoring services, and those sorts of things, they operate on an in-call basis, that is, customers coming into them, they're much safer, and they can control their circumstances, screen their clientele, call the authorities if required, and it's just a much safer scenario. The concern is with this is that by criminalizing commercial activity and by criminalizing the purchase of sex, it'll effectively mean that many of these static locations where the sex trade has been conducted reasonably safely, the brothels and those sorts of things, that in fact they would be attract criminal liability. It's an interesting issue because, of course, one of the challenges is what does the municipal government of the city of Victoria do about this and regulating a business activity? And they've come out and awkwardly said, well, look, everyone says we don't want to victimize women who are marginalized and, you know, being exploited by the sex trade or are otherwise engaged in this activity voluntarily. But this law, one of the large criticisms of it is it doesn't really give any guidance for municipalities. How do you deal with the businesses? You can't have a business license for, you know, conducting a brothel now. That's illegal. So what's going to happen, and how does the City of Victoria respond? How does the City of Victoria Police Department, how do they respond? It's a very tough situation for everyone.
Those are great questions for us to put forward. When we come back, I'd like to hear how this worked in Sweden, you know, how it's played out there, because they have some a track record of sorts on this. You're listening to Legally Speaking. My guest this morning, Paul Pearson, is back with us right after this.
Join the CFAX conversation on Facebook. Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070. From the CFAX 1070 Community Cruiser, here's what's happening.
The Irish Tenors will join the Victoria Symphony on stage to regale the audience with holiday favorites, as well as Irish tunes on Saturday, December 20th at the Royal Theatre. The DVBA Ferris Wheel is back in Centennial Square Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays until Sunday, December 21st. See Victoria from 65 feet up in the air. Rides are only $2.
Watch for our Kia Soul from Graham Kia on Government Street. CFAX 1070.
Hey, what's your favorite TV commercial of all time? The Fruit of the Loom guys? The Energizer Bunny? The Volkswagen Darth Vader kid? Come find a new favorite at the NABS Vancouver Island Gala, a showcase of the best commercials from the International Advertising Festival in Cannes. It's like watching 100 really short films with unapologetically blatant product placement. The NABS Vancouver Island Gala, Thursday, January 29th at the 8th Street Tap House. Get your tickets at nabsvi.ca.
I'm Rob Reed of New Balance Victoria and Front Runners, here with Joy, our in-store podorthist. Joy, tell us what you do.
Rob, a podorthist looks at every foot individually and helps to find footwear that works. Our goal is to keep people healthy and active with footwear that sneezes.
Can you help people who come into New Balance and Front Runners with foot pain?
We try. We take time to assess any specific pains or problems and make recommendations for footwear that adapts to them rather than the other way around.
Visit the foot specialists at New Balance Victoria on Government Street.
TV is awesome, and that's why you'll love Crave TV. Full seasons of the best loved series for just $4 a month. HBO favorites like The Sopranos and Entourage. Classics like Seinfeld and Frasier. Current hits from Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to Big Bang Theory. Go to CraveTV.ca, browse through our amazing list of show titles, and see for yourself why this is the best entertainment value around. Crave TV, all you can watch for $4 a month.
At Amica, their unique retirement lifestyle offers an endless array of activities, amenities, social events, and fresh dining menus, all-inclusive, all created with your independence in mind. This winter, don't hibernate, rejuvenate. Plan a winter staycation today and experience their resort-inspired lifestyle firsthand. For information about their residences in Victoria and Sydney, visit amica.ca. That's amica.ca.
Hi, I'm Gail Duté, president of the BC Nurses Union. During this busy holiday season, let's remember BC's nurses, striving to provide safe patient care in communities across this province. Over 40,000 of our members are on the job 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, dedicated to providing quality health care for all. On behalf of everyone in our nursing family, I'd like to wish you and your family a happy and healthy holiday season.
A message from the BC Nurses Union.
At Thrifty Foods, we love to celebrate the holidays together. Through food, we share a bit of ourselves, bringing great memories to mind, recipes to share, tastes to celebrate, like the succulent prime rib and juicy fresh turkey, scrumptious cheesecakes, and fresh pumpkin pie. Holidays to remember. From all of us at Thrifty Foods, Merry Christmas.
Giving you the power to be smarter than your smartphone. Tech Talk with Alan Perry. Saturday mornings at 10 on CFAX 1070. Your voice, your time. It's Pamela McCall on CFAX 1070.
Welcome back to Legally Speaking and to barrister and solicitor Paul Pearson, who is filling in for Michael Butterfield, who's in London. We are talking about the new prostitution laws and asking CFAX listeners, what do you think about them? Let's get to the phones. Hi, Ron. You're on CFAX 1070.
Thanks very much, Pamela. Good morning, Mr. Pearson.
Good morning, Ron.
I think this is an amazing move. Commentator Alan Fotheringham called the regressive convertibles have managed to make this a regressive law. We've gone backwards into a darker time with this legislation. I think that in a supposed attempt to protect sex trade workers, they've made the situation far worse. It's almost like we've gone back to the 1950s with this legislation.
Really interesting comment that you make, Ron, because just off mic, we were discussing this. So let's turn it over to Paul and what Paul really thinks is behind this move. Thanks for your call, Ron.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and Ron, I think, has sort of hit the nail on the head in that really when we look at the name of the legislation that they've brought forward, the name of the act is Protection of Communities, and I add in brackets first, and Exploited Persons, and I add in brackets second, Act. And so it's the Protection of Communities Act, and what effectively the Conservative government's done is made the political choice to try to stamp out prostitution. And it said, this is
it's not
immoral.
About protecting prostitutes. It's about getting rid of,
This sinful behavior. And in fact, what one of the things that they've done is adopted a submission from a group called the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada, which was this exact recommendation, which was if we criminalize this behavior, it'll reduce the amount of it in the country, which doesn't really hold water.
It actually just makes it more dangerous for the prostitutes who are already there. Yeah, goodness. Okay, let's see what Alex has to say. Hi, Alex, you're on CFAX.
Oh, good morning, Pamela. Good morning, your guests. Mr. Pearson, did I get this thing right, that you're allowed to sell sex, but you're not allowed to buy it? Isn't this a contradiction at the conceptual stage, something like an oxymoron? How could anybody pass a law that is so contradictory?
Interesting. Thanks, Alex.
And it's a good point because the reality is it's a transaction. If the buyers made the criminal or the seller, in a way, it doesn't really matter. You've made it a criminal process and a criminal act. So what it's going to do is it's going to force it to the criminal sidelines, the margins.
However,
and
it gets there.
It's going to be in the shadows. And like it or not, it's there. I mean, we can have a debate about whether or not this is a good thing morally or a bad thing morally, but what we can't do is have a disagreement about whether or not it's going on.
But
it's going on.
Alex's point, too, it underscores, it's interesting, Alex, what you said, because, if you're allowed to you're allowed to sell it, but you're not allowed to buy it. So part of what I'm hearing from you is it seems that the way that this thing is written is to make, and my early sort of reaction was, oh, the Johns are getting in trouble, now it's going to be their problem, is somewhat of a smokescreen here, a way of making this bill look like it's getting at the people who are going after sex, when in fact, so that people who aren't digging into this issue will have that perception, oh, good job, when in fact, that's kind of used as a smoke and mirrors.
And it's a good talking point for someone who wants to introduce the bill, but some of the other changes that they've made have also just effectively removed the ability to do it in a safe location, as the Supreme Court of Canada said, in a sort of an in-call basis as opposed to a going out into the community, doing it in cars and alleys and that sort of thing. It removes the ability to do it in a safe location.
Sweden has already enacted this. How's it going there?
So Sweden made this change in about the year 2000, and there's been a lot of controversy there about whether or not it's worked. The studies have shown that there's been less prostitutes standing in the streets in public locations, which many in the conservative elements in Sweden like because it's less visible. But the studies also show there has not been a reduction in prostitution, or that there is, and significantly, there has not been a reduction in human trafficking, which everyone agrees is the really negative side of this. And that's the challenge, is when you criminalize the behavior, the people who will engage in it are the criminals, and that's where the criminal organizations and the human trafficking actually increases. Because don't forget, this is all about social stigmas as well, right? If you can't be a prostitute and put that as your employment, and you can't have workers' rights, you can't have proper health care, you can't have all sorts of protections in society, what's going to happen is the criminal organizations step in and they control it.
So they're not doing that now.
So what's happening is that in Canada, we have challenges with human trafficking in Canada. We like it or not, it's come to our country. We have a mixture of prostitution, which is voluntary, involuntary, young, older. We have a real mixed bag, and there isn't a simple solution to it. But what Sweden has experienced is that this wasn't a cure. This didn't fix all the problems, and this wasn't something that was a magic fix.
What is the cure? What should happen?
Well, and some would say that the cure is actually the government's, instead of turning its back on this and saying, we don't want to regulate this, we don't want to be involved in this, the government's actually got to get involved and set standards, regulations, health practices, work practices, and actually regulate this behavior, which everybody knows is going to happen. But if you turn a blind eye to it and try to turn your back on it, or as this bill tries to do, stamp it out, it's just going to go to the margins and the shadows.
Sam writes in, Samuel does, on our Facebook page, I think if people want to buy and sell sex, then let them. However, get the workers off the street and reopen brothels, but do security checks on the people who wish to buy.
And this is exactly the kind of thing that...
This takes away
that. You can't do a security check on a purchaser now because the purchaser's not going to give you his name. Because he doesn't want to be, you know, arrested for this. He doesn't want to have his name in some list somewhere. So the purchasers are going to be anonymous, no background checks, no nothing. And in fact, the brothels are likely, you know, operating in contradiction to the law. So these safe locations aren't there. So it's a major challenge.
To some extent, would it not mean that people who don't want to get found out and charged are not going to seek the services of a prostitute? Therefore, it takes those people out of the equation. And would that not be a good thing?
Yeah, and I think that there is some recognition that if you turn it into a criminal activity to buy sex, that people are going to, some people are going to say, okay, I'm not going to go out there and buy sex. But the challenge is, those are the people who aren't abusing prostitutes, aren't using underage prostitutes, aren't using prostitutes in marginalized, you know, dangerous situations. They're not beating them up. So the people who are going to respect this law, the Johns who are going to be deterred by it, aren't the problem in the first place.
But who's to say that the ones who are the problem in the first place, who's to say that their numbers will increase based on this?
And it's, I think
they're already there.
The challenge is, and that's right, is that very little we do is actually going to affect the amount that's going on. I think Sweden's kind of shown us that it doesn't actually reduce the amounts of prostitution happening. It's something that occurs in society. The concern becomes, and what the Supreme Court of Canada said, when you force it out of a situation where the prostitutes can regulate themselves, protect themselves, and monitor themselves, and do it cooperatively and with, you know, security and that sort of thing, is you just increase the risk that bad things are going to happen to them.
Okay. Where do you think we're headed with this?
Well, we're headed to another constitutional challenge. There's little doubt, and many of the groups who've commented on this, including the Canadian Bar Association, who gave a formal submission to the government, said this does not address the heart of the concern with the Supreme Court of Canada's decision.
The heart of the concern being?
That you're putting women in danger with the laws. And so this is going to head back up to the Supreme Court of Canada. The challenge is that's going to take 6 or 8 years because of the way the system works.
6 or 8 years? For this to be challenged.
Well,
so this is the law of the land now.
That's what's going to happen. There was some talk about saying, hey, you know, government, since this is such a big change, why don't you put what we call a reference to the Supreme Court of Canada and say, what do you guys think about this new law? You know, give us your thoughts. Is this constitutional? Is it not? They've opted not to do that. So now we're going to have to wait for somebody to get arrested, go through provincial court, court of appeal, everybody up the whole big line. And so it's going to be years before we see something. So this is the law of the land right now.
So the Conservatives heading into a federal election in 2015, would you say that they've rammed this through?
I'm not sure if it got rammed through in that they were actually kind of, their feet were put to the fire by the Supreme Court of Canada, who said you got to do something by a year if there is going to be any law surrounding prostitution. And I think from the Conservatives on a political level, their choice was they didn't want to be the government that legalized prostitution going into a federal election.
With the conservative voter base.
Their voter base wouldn't be happy about that.
What do you think is going to happen to prostitutes now as a result of this?
I think that in places where the police and communities actually care about marginalized women and are going to be protecting them, hopefully there isn't going to be a major increase in their risk. But I fear, and I'm not alone in this, that more prostitutes who are exploited and marginalized will be put into dangerous situations and will be abused.
Because it's not going away, it's just going into the shadows.
That's exactly the problem.
And remind us, just in summation here, that sounded very legal of me. how the municipalities will now have to deal with this here in Victoria, for example.
So Victoria's going to have to deal with, if someone wants to say, I'm going to operate a business and it's going to be a brothel and I want a business license and I want to be able to operate it, or I want to have this space and
because
have it
it's
inspected
legal to
for
do so.
Use. That's right. I can sell sex, but the concern becomes it's the law makes it illegal to carry out a commercial activity selling sex. So Victoria is going to have to surf this thin line between what is legal and what isn't. And that's a really tough place for a municipality to be.
Wow. And so, well, essentially, because it's legal on one hand, but then it's illegal on the other hand.
That's right. And I'm a lawyer, and I have a difficult time reading through all of this and figuring out what the actual bottom line is on it. So I feel bad for the municipalities, the police officers, yeah, prosecutors, and especially this. These poor women.
I want to get a comment in from Robert. He says, if big business were involved in prostitution, I think the government would have found a way to legalize it. We'll leave it at that. Thanks so much for coming in. All the best of the season to you.
Thanks so much, Pamela.
We have been talking to Paul Pearson. He is a local lawyer, and he's filling in for Michael Butterfield here on Legally Speaking. I'm Pamela McCall, and news is next.